It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
We have a very special guest, and I'm really excited about having her on. We have Poora Fay, who is going to be with us for the hour here on the Talking Feather, and she has a lot of information and a lot of things to share, so we're going to be doing that in a little while. But before we do that, making that connection with the Great Spirit, I will say the prayer in Wampanoag, the language of the Wampanoag people. Ketanet, numak mi witamog, oki. Numak ni witamog. Ogamas, nupashat, numak ni witamog tabat noayin. Numak ni witamog e ut nu shik aki. Wampanayo, sanayo, patanayo, nanamayo. Great Spirit, I offer this tobacco. Mother Earth, aki, I offer this tobacco. Grandmother Moon, I offer this tobacco. Grandfather Sun, I offer this tobacco. I offer this tobacco to the four directions, to the east, south, to the west, to the north. With that, I say Tabatni. Thank you. Well, what can I say? Well, one thing I can say is to listen to the Talking Feather, you can go to your computer and hit www.wolam.com, and you can pick up that phone and join us in this dialogue by dialing 1-800-450-7876. One more time, 1-800-450-7876. Poora Fay.
Yes.
It is so good to have you here on the Talking Feather. It's been a long time, girl.
Yes, it has. Thank you.
I know. And you have been really, really busy. I mean, just thinking about your career, which probably started when you were in the womb. But you have been doing some amazing, amazing things. And there are many people who are familiar with the work that you do. But for those who, you know, may have been somewhere in the mountains somewhere, I want to share some things about you. First of all, you are a member of the Tuscarora Nation. Your people came from North Carolina, mm-hmm. and you have been singing since you were a child. Your mother, your grandmother, your mother's sisters, it goes on and on in terms of how far back the voices of the women in your family have been raised. And you, of course, were the founding member of Eulalie, which so many people here in the Washington, D.C. area and around the country know about, you know, the beautiful voices that blended and really changed the sound of not only indigenous music, but, you know, reaching out globally. Right now, you are in the midst of starting another recording. And the many other recordings that you've done, of course, with other people, and Follow Your Heart's Desire, that CD that came out several years ago, and, of course, Hold the Rain, and the work that you're doing now. Talk about some of the things that have inspired you to create the music that you're doing now.
Well, once I started, I left Eulalie so that I could move down south and start working more with grassroots communities, and music is always goes with me wherever I go. So I think going home to North Carolina really influenced me to pick up the slide guitar And so I put out an album called Follow Your Heart's Desire, which was re-released in France, and they renamed it Tuscarora Nation Blues.
Mm.
So, and that album has, there's some of the community singing on it, and there's Dear Clan singers, and all the album itself is kind of historical, the stories about what's happened throughout the Southeast, and what's happening today, and so, and it's all very blues, and it's also very indigenous. It's just a real mush of whatever runs through me. And then, you know, I ended up getting very connected with the music maker is the blues label I'm on out of North Carolina. And they signed a distribution deal in France. So I put out a second album, and I've been touring extensively with either Music Maker or on my own throughout France and Germany and Switzerland and Spain and so forth, and we're beginning to spread out through more of Europe. Well, in that time, I got to know some of these people from Dixie Frog and one person in particular named Guy Fay, who really wanted to come to the States and do a whole indigenous thing. They saw my MySpace site, and they saw all these different native artists on my page, and they went to listen and just freaked them out. They had no idea.
Wow.
Now, that there was so much of this music going on in Indian country. And so they said they wanted to do this project. They said, well, you can't do it without me because you don't know where to go. So they came. And I pointed them to Elaine Bomberry, who's from Six Nations, who's now in Vancouver. And I live in Seattle, so we're right next to each other. And along with her artists that are underneath her, Res Blues, I don't know what she calls it. It's not a company, but she has the whole Res Blues where she produces a whole Native festival that's aired on APT and Bravo in Canada. And it's just all year round. They tape and they show, have showings of all these artists from both sides of the fence. It's not just Canada, but U.S. Native artists. So she got her people in, and I went and gathered a bunch of others. And I kept pushing and pushing, and it ended up being a 32 artists on a compilation, 3-disc compilation with a DVD portion. And it's going to be released in France. It'll be available up on the internet. And it's called Indian Reservation Blues and More.
I want to say, this is incredible when you think about it. I mean, nothing like this has ever been done.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Well, as far as I know, except for you know, some of the historical collections of early indigenous music. But, I mean, this is contemporary, and this is fabulous.
Yeah.
Dixie Frog, is that Dixie Frog Records? Or?
Yes, Dixie Frog Records. And
right.
You can go online and find them. And they're a great label. And this is going to blow up. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
Over there anyway. I hope it does something in the States and Canada and wherever else it can. But so they're going to be setting up a tour. And this is what they did with Music Makers artists. And the Music Makers artists are mostly elderly black musicians, blues musicians. And I toured with that company over in Europe. And they pulled me out of it and gave me my own record over there. So, and then this came about. So they're going to do the same thing as they did with the Music Maker artists. And they said over in France, they were calling them sort of like the Buena Vista Social Club, the Music Maker artists.
Yeah.
It was great to travel with them. And so now I'm looking forward to traveling with the Res Blues.
Oh, this will be incredible. And one of the things of course, is to get this word out and, you know, advertise it as many venues as possible, you know, radio, television, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have the wonderful Internet where all this kind of information can get out, you know, just blitz the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because there are some really incredible people that are going to be that are on this CD.
Do you want me to name them?
Oh, please.
Okay. We tried to get Floyd's music, but at the time when this has taken a long time to get this together, so this came together pretty much about a year after Floyd's death.
Mm.
And so it was kind of hard to. Rosie was still. His wife was, you know.
Right.
So I didn't want to push. And John Trudell, we tried to get some of his, one of his pieces. And Buffy, who I'd spoken to, but she's so swamped. But I really didn't want to leave out Paul Ortega. And we got his stuff. So that was one of our elders that's up there. For me, it's, you know, we have to honor those that opened the door first to the mainstream music. So we have Aaron White, Wayne Lavelli, Keith Cicola, Derek Miller, Art Napoleon, Paul Ortega, George Leek, Jacques and the Shaky Boys.
And you know what?
Hill, yes?
I'm going to go to this little pause called a commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I didn't have the time right. But anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the people that are going to be on this incredible CD, Indian Reservation Blues and More. We are visiting with Puta Fey, singer, producer, songwriter extraordinaire. We'll be right back. I'm the Talking Feather, and our special guest today is Puta Fey, who's in North Carolina. Welcome back.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love your rendition of you've infused war, you know, Edwin Starr's War. I love the song. I love the way you put it together. But I'm going to talk about that in a few seconds. But I want you to name some more of the people. You know, you mentioned the Shaky Boys, Paul Ortega, you know, who was really in the forefront.
Here, I'll just name them all real quick. It's Aaron White, Wayne Lavelli, Keith Cicola, Derek Miller, Art Napoleon, Paul Ortega, George Leek. Leach, I mean, Jacques and the Shaky Boys, Elizabeth Hill, Murray Porter, Julian B., Leilani, Asani, Slide and Clyde Roulette, Alex Jacobs, Indigenous, Cornbread, Star Naya, Carrie Morin, Keith, there's Butch Mudbone, Farron Pappy Johns, Sandy Schofield, Tonema, Girl, Cochise Anderson, Jim Boyd, there's me, there's Charlie Lowry, she's from my home, and Joy Harjo, there's Jason Bernstick, the Plateros, and Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And I want to let people know that they can find this information by going to, they can look up Indian Reservation Blues and More.
And right. And you can go right to their website, actually, which is
www.bluesweb.com. www.bluesweb.com?
Uh-huh. Yep. That's the Dixie Frog label website.
Oh, wonderful. Because
it'll be available February 1st.
And a lot of the artists, I mean, you can, once you go to the Blues Web Blueswed website, you can look up the artists and listen to some of their music, because a lot of them have, you know, their own sites.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to get this. But I want to talk about your travels, and because you write and you sing about so many things that are going on, I mean, you infuse history, you infuse what's going on today, talking about so many things, and you put in some romantic pieces, some love songs. I mean, it's a plethora of things that you infuse into your writings. Talk about the reactions that you get when you perform, especially when you talk about politics.
Well, sometimes you'll notice people get up and walk out. So that's a reaction. Lots of interviews will always, they always ask me to do, like, what's behind certain pieces. I think overall, there's a positive response. I think I'm not quite as, I guess I really get to the core of the matter, maybe.
Yes, you do. you're very honest about the history. I mean, yeah.
Well, I try to be. I'm just writing what I know and what I see.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always make, you know, not everybody agrees. And so I've come across some people that have a hard time with it. But most of all, the responses are pretty positive. And I don't really know how to answer that. I mean, in France, in Europe, the reception is unbelievable. You can hear a pin drop.
Mm.
People so appreciate music and art in general and literature even more, so much more. I think that's everywhere pretty much in the world other than in the U.S., unfortunately. But I think it's because in the U.S. it's regarded as a market.
Yeah.
It's a luxury, not a necessity. So we have a different response. So it's like over here, you know, it's like, get a job. It's like not considered a real job unless you're really bringing in dough. And over there, it's like a person sitting there playing in the park and everyone's gathered around listening. So you're considered a messenger. You have a gift or something. So it's a very different experience. So,
And looking at, the label Music Maker and how they have really amplified the blues singers that, mm-hmm. you know, really, really need to be heard. I mean, traveling with them and just talking about music, what are some of the things that people are talking about, you know, when they get together in terms of the music and the history of it?
You mean the audience?
The artist from Music Maker. You know, when...
From Music Maker?
Yeah.
They don't really say too much. These are elders, and you know how elders are. They don't really say too much. They just perform,
mm-hmm.
and they don't complain,
mm-hmm.
even though sometimes the situation may be really hard with the hours and traveling, and these are old people. And you can see how rough it is for them, but I don't know. They don't really say too much. They're very proud, and they don't give away a lot. Maybe some of the songs do. You know, the songs might sing about rough times, but they don't talk too much about it. I noticed that they're very supportive of. During this whole time with this, all the war that's been going on, they've been very, they talk about wishing that it would stop,
mm-hmm.
Bringing troops home. And that's pretty much what I heard. And of course, when we're actually driving in the truck, you know, it's fun time and crazy stuff. It was a little much for me because it was mostly men.
Yeah.
And I would travel with all these elderly men, and men are men. And so I would end up, like, hanging out with Beverly Guitar Watkins, who was the elderly woman, and she was, it'd drive her crazy. So, so we were, you know, we didn't talk about anything profound, really.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then there might be some kind of conversation when something about the past would come up. And a lot of people have a hard time talking about the past and talking about slavery. And it's not something that everyone's comfortable about exposing or talking about or relating to it. It's something that happened back then, and that says younger people do that.
Yeah.
They pull all that stuff out.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that you have really done in educating people about the intersections, the connections of the music. When you talk about jazz, when you talk about blues, you're talking about an infusion of the African American experience and the Native American experience. Let's talk a little bit about that history.
Okay.
When you look at slavery, some people say, I know the research that you've done, and you've talked about how Native Americans, of course, were enslaved first here on this land and sent to other places. And then the African slave trade started. Let's talk about what happened in the indigo fields, cotton fields, and things that happened on the plantation. And you know what? I am really zooming, and we have 1 minute. So this, of course, is going to be continued on the next segment of the Talking Feather. But just to give a little 30-second intro to it, Perfe.
Oh, okay. Well, I always say that, you know, these people were thrown together, and they worked together in the field, and sometimes they were even pinned against each other. I mean, they had so much happen to them in together. So, you know, naturally there was music that came out of it, and food, and ways of planting, and so much intermixing blood as well. It's almost like there's a whole new breed of people came out of that experience.
Absolutely. And so when we come back, we're going to continue this dialogue.
Okay.
So call us 1-800-450-7876. Penny Gamble Williams here, and that beautiful voice is Purifé Crescioni, and she is with us today. Purifé has an interesting history. She is connected to the Monk family, Theolonius Monk, so she has that line going on there, which, you know, that music is just all throughout it's in your blood, girl.
It is my blood.
It is your blood. You know, and I also want to talk about, I know we've been talking about the intersection of African and Native people in the South, and how the blues came about, and how this music, this genre of jazz and blues and so many other elements of music came about. But I want to also talk about your connection, some of the things that you've done in terms of who you've sung with. I mean, you sang with Mercer Ellington, the son of Duke Ellington. Your mother sang with Duke Ellington. So, you know, there are so many different experiences that you've brought into your music through all of those connections and those threads. One of the things that you were talking about before we took our pause here was how not only were people thrown together, and then they intermarried, they mixed by blood, but then there were so many different things that happened in terms of the politics and how people were divided and separated and pitted against one another. So I guess you could say, Porfe, that the blues, that element, that story, kind of brings another story to the table when the blues is sung. Because
yeah.
We're looking at that history and the experiences of people.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that actually one of my next journeys, I have so many projects, but one of them is called Red, Black, on Blues, and I'm really hoping to find a way to open that door up and have that, the whole story and the acknowledgement. Because blues is also very much in the Indianness part of the equation. And people don't know that. And because history is not written by the people, it is now. You know, people are beginning to, oral history needs to be recorded at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a totally different story, it's a different perspective, and it's told in a way where, well, it needs to be told by its people. So in order for people to understand what really happened historically, and all these contributions that have been that are here and now, and. And so I think it is perfect, like having the Res Blues project, but it needs to go deeper than that. And for me, it's talking more about the ancestral connections and the way people did have to come together. Within my own family bloodlines, it's like I have ancestors from all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and it's typical. It's not just me. It's not an unusual thing. That's history, and that's what built this country. And Indians have been here, and they've been a part of every movement that happened. So the music is always the best way to tell stories, and the music has all the ingredients along with Native peoples. Traditional music, you can hear it. And so I don't know what else to say. My next project I'm hoping to do is Red, Black, on Blues, but that's also a song I wrote, which will be on my next CD, which I'm recording right now in North Carolina. And many people, artists, are joining me on this album. But Red, Black, on Blues talks about the connection between this continent and the African continent goes way back, way before this became called the New World. And there was lots of trade going back and forth. And I guess I've been told that it was that connection that they capitalized on, that suddenly all the slave ships came later on and grabbing people and so forth. So to me, the Red, Black, on Blues really, it goes way back. It's deeper. It's farther back, the connection and the music and the beliefs. So Yeah, I guess you'll have to hear the song.
I know. Well, fortunately,
I can't talk about it too well, but when I sit down and write, I get all the little things. But
yeah, I love it. I can't wait for the CD to come out because it really tells a story so beautifully about these connections. And I really want to thank you for all of the work that you've put into not only creating your music and sharing it with the world, but how you've done it and how you have created the stories so people can not only enjoy it but learn something. And that's how I see it. So I'm just giving you your props, girl, and thanking you for that. Because it really has started a lot of dialogue, and that's what's needed. That's what's needed, and that's what music, I think, is all about.
Mm-hmm.
There was a message in the music, and that's how things started. You know, people sang songs for enjoyment, but they also sang to teach.
Yeah.
You know, so you are really continuing that tradition, and you know, we can thank the ancestors for tapping you and saying, per se, you've got some work to do. Yeah, but you know, also in some of the writings that you've done, you've talked about a lot of musicians that people just don't think about in terms of being having a Native connection, but there are many.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you can name a few off the top
you
of your
mean
head.
That?
Yeah, and the jazz idiom and
the jazz world. Well, yeah. So many jazz and blues, like Jim Pepper.
Yeah.
There was Russell Moore. Do you remember Russell Moore?
Yeah.
The player Pima.
Yeah. Trombone, yeah, he played trombone.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Trombone, and I knew his son.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just tons of, there's one of the biggest artists that really didn't get his day is Jesse Davis, who, Kiowa Comanche, who played for Taj Mahal,
mm-hmm.
and then later played with John Trudell. And Taj will tell you that Jesse changed the music. He said back in the day, no one could play slide like Jesse could, and he was teaching, he taught Keith Richards, he was teaching some of the Beatles, he was teaching, he named some big whammies, and I was just like, wow. So one of these days, I will make sure that Jesse gets honored somehow or another, like some kind of Hall of Fame. He needs to be in there. Then where there's Link Wray, who's right from Dunn, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed the music with that crazy guitar sound, you know, that Batman sound.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a Charlie Patton,
mm-hmm.
and who's part Choctaw. And even in his Down the Dirt Road blues, one day Marie and my friend were sitting there. We were on the Six Nations Reservation listening to this song. And he said, in the song, he says, I went to the nation, but Lord, I couldn't live there. That's in the song. And so it's just, he changed the music as well. So there's so many dents in music that was definitely made by Native musicians.
And, yeah. And you know, also Don Cherry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who was Choctaw, and, Duke Ellington, who also had Native ancestry. I was talking to his grandson, Eddie Ellington, about that a few years
mm-hmm.
ago. And, this is the history, this is the story, and it's very rich, because when you listen to the music, you feel and you hear all of those things going on. Which makes it so beautiful, especially when you start to understand what it is you're feeling. Well, we're up in another pause here, so stick around, everybody. 1-800-450-7876. Our special guest is Tora Faye.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Talking Feather. Penny Gamble Williams here. Our special guest is Portafay Crescioni. She is the multi-talented performer, writer, songstress. My goodness, you've performed on Broadway. You have danced, and you have spread your wonderful talent around the world. And we are so happy to have you here today.
Thank you.
Yes. Portafay, give out your web address so people can get more information about what you're doing.
You can go to www.portafay.com.
And it's P-U-R-A-F-E.
Yeah, F like Frank, E, Portafay. And but my MySpace really has more of my stuff on there, I would say, in some ways. So you'll go to MySpace/Portafay.com. And that's more active. It has all my schedules up all the time. And I post lots of crazy bulletins and blogs and I'm in a lot of trouble. So that's a lot more, we'll have more information about what I'm into.
That's right. And there's some great great video on you, which you can people can see through YouTube. I mean, a lot of your performances. And I just want to say, you have a fabulous guitar player with you. Talk about Danny.
Well, Danny Godinez, he was born and raised in, well, not completely raised in Virginia, but most of his life he was in Virginia. He's an Army brat, so he was moved all over the place. But he has three brothers all together, and he was the one that picked up the guitar at a very young age, and he's been playing for, close to 30 years. And he is a master. He's one of our finest guitarists. He's definitely been named as one of the finest guitarists in Washington State, other than Bill Frisell. And that's a good compliment. That's a great review to have. So Danny he's known for his acoustic. He plays an electric, but he plays his acoustic like it is an electric. And he uses lots of pedals and loopers, but he does it in such an incredible way. It doesn't take from his playing. It adds.
It really does.
Yeah, he adds. It's like you're watching an entire orchestra up there, mm-hmm. and then the solo will drop on top of it. It'll just knock you off your pants. So he's, that's what I can say about him musically, other than he's just a great guy and very easy to work with.
That's great.
So he's going to be all over the second, the third album as he was in the second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I met him when I moved to Seattle, and he remembered seeing Ulali at the WOMAD Festival. So he remembered me from that time. That's like maybe 13 years ago, and when it was in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a mutual friend had us both come to one of his concerts, and we met. And he walked up to me, and he just handed me all his cards and everything, and that's it. And so then he said, "Can I play guitar for you?" I was like, okay. And so then he came into my house, took me home, played, and I was like, "Who are you?" And I was ready to move to L.A. to work with a different guitarist, and I just said, "Get that idea." I said, "I found what I'm looking for." So we've been working since then, writing, and
Yeah, he is incredible. And I must say, your guitar playing, slide guitar, is fabulous. Talk about that. What led you to the guitar?
Well, several things. Leon Locklear
mm-hmm.
from home. He plays a dobro on his lap. I've always loved it. And blues is my heart. and then I did a with you, Lolly, we performed at Edmonton Folk Festival in Canada. And we were up on stage. It was called the Global Village Workshop, right? So we were on stage with Alex Escovedo, and to our right, next to me, was Kelly Jo Phelps, who, in my opinion, plays the best acoustic lap guitar I've ever seen. His style is just, I mean, it's amazing. So he was sitting next to me, and I watched him, and it was like he transferred the energy, or the spirit just, like, bumped right into me. And I watched him. I said, I can do that. In fact, I have been doing this all my life. So I went out and bought these guitars and just started to play immediately. And then, so that's what led me to it. And it's the perfect type of tuning for the kind of songs that I do write.
Mm-hmm.
So it just worked like a glove. And I did talk to Kelly in Paris. I saw him at a concert. He was very nice to me. And I wrote a song inspired by him called If I Was Your Guitar,
yeah,
I'd Be the Happiest Woman Alive. And the guy who interviewed Kelly interviewed me for this magazine, and I didn't want to tell Kelly that, because it comes off like, you know, this is a married man. So anyway, the interviewer blew it for me, and I was so totally embarrassed. Anyway, that's a crazy story, but that's what... Anyway, Kelly Jo Phelps, Leon Locklear, and that's what led me to pick up a slide guitar.
Wow, I didn't know Leon Locklear played the guitar.
Oh, my God. You hardly ever see him without that dobro hanging around his neck.
Wow.
And he plays very well.
Yeah. Also want to talk to you about the fact that in the blues, I mean, we've talked about how it is, you know, kind of cross-cultural infusion, but you have incorporated traditional language of the Tuscarora, and some of the cadences and the melodies and the I'll call it call and response, into your music. Talk about that.
I guess that kind of started when I used to sing with a band with James McBride. He's the author of The Color of Water.
Right.
And he's a good old friend of mine. And so he's also a musician other than an author. And we had a band, and I did some demos for him. And, well, at that time, I was asked to open up for the American Indian Dance Theater out in on this reservation in New Jersey. And they had just started. And that was like over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you didn't have a fusion of, like, an electrical band and a traditional dance theater, and even the dance theater was something new. So something like that, at that size, it was traveling worldwide. And then they also had Joy Harjo, who was reading from one of her books. And I just thought to myself, I can't bring this jazz band out here to open for that. That's just not going to work. So then I asked Sonny Moreno,
mm-hmm,
who's part of ULE. At that time, I said, hey, let's take these songs that I'm singing it with James. I said, let's take these songs and just bring it down to a drum. And then, like, do it 49 style.
Wow.
And that's how it all started. So we had, like, two or three songs with paper in our hand. We were so nervous. We were shaking the papers. And we opened up for the American Indian Dance Theater and Joy Harjo. And that was the beginning of the sound. And we had hired a guy to drum, because we were scared to drum then, because women, quote unquote, aren't supposed to drum. And that went out the window pretty quickly.
It sure did. I mean,
yeah.
The three of you started something that is just splaying out into the world. Prof. Fay, we are up against the time. I want to thank you for so many wonderful songs and news, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
All right. Blessings. And I want to say blessings to all of you who listen to the Talking Feather. You can go to our website, talkingfeatherradio.com, and get more information about what we're doing. Remember, to honor the ancestors, love your children, the elders, and walk in balance on Mother Earth. Until we meet again, Monish.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.